Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1,000 years after Israel had escaped from the Egyptians and had crossed through the Red Sea, through their wilderness journey, and into the Promised Land, 1,000 years later, Israel was a great kingdom. Throughout those centuries, Israel had grown and strengthened, and in some ways had followed after the promises of God, and in so many other ways disregarded those promises. After leadership of the great prophet Moses, Israel was led by the judges. After years of being led by the righteous men and women who were the judges, Israel had clamored for a king. God had relented and given them just what they asked. And like any leaders, some kings were good and many were bad. In the 16th chapter of the book of Kings, we learn of the king known as Ahab. King Ahab was what the book of Kings calls the king who did the most evil in the sight of the Lord. King Ahab had married a woman named Jezebel. Jezebel was from the land of Sidon, and she worshipped the god Baal, the god of fertility, the god of agriculture. And Ahab had forsaken the ways of Yahweh. He had forgotten that it was Yahweh, Yeshua, the God who saves. And he began to worship the god Baal. He built a temple in honor of Baal. He began to sacrifice to Baal, all to please his wife Jezebel. You can imagine that this angered the Lord. And so God sent a new prophet, the prophet Elijah. And our story begins not in a wilderness out in the middle of nowhere, but in a wilderness moment in the life of Israel, where the king had forsaken the ways of the Lord and had chased after false gods. Elijah is sent into the heart of the royal palace to tell Ahab that God, Yahweh, Yeshua, had judged Ahab and was sending a righteous judgment, that there would be a drought in the land, that no rain would fall, that as a result of the drought, a great famine would come upon the land. Ahab would be judged. And the Lord was punishing him. Now you can imagine, this did not go over well with King Ahab. This strange prophet Elijah from a town called Tishbe over in Gilead, how dare he come into the presence of the great King Ahab? How dare he speak such words of condemnation? Who did he think he was? And who did he think he was speaking for? But Elijah was speaking for Yahweh Yeshua, the Lord Most High, the God who saves. Now, the first miracle is that Ahab does not have Elijah killed right there on the spot. Instead, Elijah leaves the presence of the king. And the Lord comes to Elijah again and says, Elijah, I am sending you out into the wilderness. Go, and I will take care of you there. And so from the wilderness of a king who has forgotten the Lord, Elijah sets off into the wilderness on the only promise that God will save him. God will provide. And so Elijah sets off back into the wilderness. The Lord sends Elijah to the Wadi Cherith. A wadi is a creek bed that fills with water from the seasonal rains. And so in the wilderness, God provides for Elijah to rest there beside the wadi, to drink from the water. God sends birds to feed Elijah in the morning and in the evening. So there in the wilderness, Elijah experiences the provision of God. How the God who has always been with the people, even in this time of wilderness longing, this wilderness journey, he comes to Elijah and provides sustenance for him. Every morning, bringing him food. Every evening, bringing him food. And there, drinking from the water of the creek bed. Elijah experiences what it means to depend upon God. Even in that wilderness, where he might have been tempted to think that he was alone, or tempted to worry about whether or not he would find food, tempted to worry whether he would go hungry and starve. God teaches Elijah this lesson, that God will provide. Even from unexpected sources like birds and a dry creek bed that suddenly fills with water. It's oftentimes when we get out into those wilderness moments when we realize how much we must depend upon God. See, back in the kingdom, back in the court of Ahab, he had great feasts. He never went hungry. Elijah, as a prophet, could have just told the king what he wanted to hear. And he too could have feasted. It was normal. It was comfortable. It was easy. But out there in the wilderness, Elijah had to depend solely upon God. And what Elijah found out was that God could be trusted with God's promises. It was God that sent Elijah out into the wilderness to protect him and to teach him. And there, as he's fed by the birds of the air, as he drinks deeply from the creek, he knows deep down inside that God, the God of Yeshua, the God who saves, would also provide. But just as soon as he learns this lesson, the famine, the drought that Elijah had been told was coming, strikes him. Because there's been no rain, the wadi, that creek, begins to dry up. Because of the famine in the land, the birds stop bringing Elijah food in the morning and in the evening. And there in the wilderness, Elijah faces again that fear. But just then the word comes from the Lord to Elijah once more and says, "Go to Zarephath, and there you will find a widow." Elijah must trust yet again the promises of God. And from the wilderness of that creek bed, Elijah is sent into yet another wilderness. Because you see, friends, Zarephath is a foreign country. Elijah is being told to leave Israel, to leave the land, go into a foreign country, and there you'll find a widow who will take care of you. Prophet Elijah leaves the wilderness and, under the command of the Lord, travels to Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Now, you may not realize, but because Elijah has left Israel and gone into Sidon, he's gone right into the heart of enemy territory. Remember King Ahab, who had married Jezebel. Jezebel was from Sidon. And in Sidon, they worshiped Baal, the god of fertility and agriculture, the god that King Ahab had chosen to worship as he abandoned Yahweh. And so Elijah is entering enemy territory and is commanded by the Lord to go and to find a widow who will provide for him. And so as he gets to the edge of town, he notices a woman gathering sticks beside the town gate. He goes to her and she tells him that she's gathering for her last meal. He asks for a drink of water. He asks for bread. And she says, "I only have bread enough for this final meal. I'm going to go home with my son. We're going to have our last meal, and then we're going to die." You see, this drought and famine has affected the entirety of the region, and this widowed woman has given up. Have you felt like giving up? Are you facing diminished income? Are you facing the loss of your job? Are you just stressed out because of all that's going on in this world and you're at the end of the line? Perhaps some of us, if not all of us, have felt like that widow woman who feels like all there's left to do is just to go home and to give up. But widows have a special place in the heart of God. The widows are those whom God says, along with the orphans, to be particularly mindful of caring for them. And so Elijah accepts the offer to go back to this widow's home. But he makes this promise to her. Because Elijah believes in the promise of the Lord that he will provide, he tells the widow, "Your jar of meal to make your bread will not run out until this drought is over." And so every day she goes back to that jar, and sure enough, there's enough to make bread for one more day. And so she provides for Elijah as the Lord provides for her. Here in a foreign land, in the home of an enemy, a woman who worships a false god in Elijah's eyes, Elijah finds that the Lord provides. This is the very beginning of Elijah's ministry. He'll become a great prophet, the greatest prophet in all of Israel, the forerunner, so they say, of the Messiah. And his entire prophetic ministry begins in the home of a widow woman who puts her faith in the promises of the prophet's words that the Lord will provide. When the drought is over and the famine subsides, the scriptures tell us that the widow puts her faith in Yahweh, just like Elijah had done. In spite of what the kings had said, in spite of the wilderness journey, in spite of almost running out of food, Elijah has trusted the Lord. And there at the beginning of his ministry, he learns these promises are true. That in the face of famine, God will provide bread. In the face of drought, God will provide water. In the face of certain death, God provides life. In these wilderness moments, Elijah finds the promise to be true. That the God who saved Israel at the Red Sea will provide for us even now. Often in unlikely places and from unlikely people. The generosity of strangers, the generosity of people that are different from us. Perhaps you've experienced that generosity during this time of wilderness, this time of pandemic. Perhaps someone has provided a meal for you unexpectedly, or a kind word, an email, a phone call, a FaceTime. Maybe you've done that for somebody else, and if not, here's a good chance to start. God often provides in unlikely places through unlikely people, and sometimes that's you and me. Elijah's wilderness journey ends, but his ministry is beginning. The great prophet leaves the widow's house and returns to the kingdom to proclaim the truth that there is no God but the Lord, and that Lord will provide. One more thing. 800 years later, another prophet will leave his home and strike out into the wilderness. That prophet, the son of a widowed woman named Mary, is the prophet Jesus, who will strike out into yet another wilderness. And in him, we will see the fullness of these promises. That God is God and none other. That God will be with us. That God will never leave us. That God will provide bread and living water. And we can trust the promises, even in the wilderness, even in a time of uncertainty. The promises of God are true. The Lord will provide. Let us follow after him. Now, dear friends, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance to you and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.